The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. To the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, we're talking to Mark Shaw, the brand new book, Collateral Damage. Mark, you're getting into some amazing stuff here. So just keep going if you don't mind.
Well, my research, you know, showed that there was this problem with the barbiturates. And I was obviously curious to begin with because Noguchi's, I have a copy if you want me to show it to you, of the actual autopsy report. And it said, first of all, she died of barbiturate overdose, and then they moved that on into probable suicide. But as far as the clues went, I was concerned about what was not found in her stomach, these barbiturates and all of that. So the second thing had to do with the actions of the housekeeper right after the police arrived. When the body was found. And Detective Clemens talked about the fact that she seemed very nervous and all of that. And she was actually doing what? She was washing clothes in the washing machine in the middle of the night. Well, you know, Dorothy Kilgallen was great with finding these little clues at times when she was working on the JFK assassination. I wondered, why in the world was this woman doing the wash? Well, if you look, and I have a picture of Marilyn's bedroom, you can see that the sheets there and everything are all messed up and everything, but it looks like that they may have been replaced. There's a blanket there that was never talked about or anything. So it made me wonder if somehow or another there something happened on those sheets that would have caused then them to be replaced and the housekeeper to do the wash in the middle of the night. That was my second clue as to something was wrong. All right. Those made a lot of sense in terms of just my curiosity as to what to it occurred. And then we get to the third clue, and that basically kind of came to me all at once. I get my best ideas in the middle of the night, and I woke up and I rushed to my computer and I looked at the autopsy report, and it showed a bruise on Marilyn's left hip. And I looked at that and I said to myself, wait a minute, let's see what it said. And it said it was a fresh bruise on her hip. So I thought to myself, you know, here's what I think happened. Bobby Kennedy would never have been involved in the actual death of Marilyn, but he would have had operatives who obviously could do this. So people can go through my train of thought there, but what I believe happened, a plausible belief in terms of how she was killed, is that those operatives went to her home in the middle of the night. She opened the door for whatever reason, and they immediately used something to, you know, I'm not sure what it was, chloroform or whatever it may be, to make her fuzzy. They carried her into her bedroom, and while they did that, they may have hit her hip on the side of the door or whatever. She was then put in the bed, and basically, according to my beliefs at least, there was no glass, remember, for her to have ingested all of these pills or whatever. And so my belief is that one way or another, the poison of those barbiturates were inserted rectally.
Johnny Russo has a different theory. He says he knows the doctor and that the doctor would use injections in the pubic area so that you couldn't see it. You don't think that's the case?
It certainly could be. I didn't know about Johnny's theory. At the time, but I've learned more about it. That is plausible as well. That could have happened, but it still follows that same scenario that I had, except that you wouldn't have had a reason for the housekeeper to do the wash. So I'm going to say to you that I think my theory may be more plausible than Johnny's, but Who knows?
I'm not clear on how, you know, I never thought the word suppository would come up twice in the same program. This is some kind of a kismet. But yes. the thing is, I'm not sure, without getting too indecorous or graphic, how that kind of introduction of the poison would have caused anything to happen on the sheets. I'm not sure that I want to probe further using
let me try, if I may. What I think happened is that they used whatever sort of suppository, putting those drugs in there, inserted it rectally. Maybe they did it as she was turned upside down. When they turned her over, there could have been leakage on those sheets. That's what I think happened. And that's why I think that those sheets had to be washed.
Poison suppository leakage, I believe, is the technical term you're looking for. It's astonishing stuff, Mark, what we're talking about. Do you think that this book represents the first time that it has been proved that Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the brother of the president and the attorney general, murdered Marilyn Monroe?
I think he was involved in her death. There's no question about that. Complicit in her death. And if they had checked out all the evidence at the time, including what I presented in the book, he would have been prosecuted. Now, one thing you should know, too, is that conveniently, the person in charge of the investigation of Marilyn's death was Robert Parker, who was the police chief in Los Angeles, very, very close friend of RFK. And so what did they do? Your eyes are wide. Mine were too when I found that to be true, and I've gotten documentation on that. So what did they do? Did they go out and talk to all these witnesses? Marilyn was not in suicidal mode. That's always been a phony belief. She was feeling great. Dorothy wrote a column about her. She's back in the news. She's got somebody in her life that's a bigger name than Joe DiMaggio. Well, who would that have been? You know, all of that was she had
Carl Yastrzemski.
It could have been time, though, I'm afraid.
But I mean, so it was common knowledge, or at least Dorothy Kilgallen was hinting around about RFK at that point.
Yes. And she thought he was the last person who would have talked to her, that he was the man in her life and all of that. But going back to Marilyn, she had just settled a problem with 20th Century Fox for the movie Something's Got to Give. And more than that, for Marilyn, she thought she might get to remarry Joe DiMaggio and have children. I've humanized all three of the subjects in this book so people will know what we lost in these three people losing their lives. But she hoped that that would happen. And also she'd been offered a Broadway play, which was always her dream, because she wanted to be treated as a real actress. And so what did Parker do? They appointed a 3 psychiatrist panel to look into her mental state. They came back, obviously, without doing any research and said, yeah, she was suicidal. End of story. Probable suicide.
It's just astonishing.
It all fits together.
But let me ask the question again, because I don't think you answered it. You just clarified the question. Is this book the first proof that RFK was involved in the murder of Marilyn Monroe?
You know, I believe it is, but I can't say that because I haven't looked at a lot of these other books. I don't do that. I don't depend on other people's research. I will say my research is, I think, the most credible in terms of pinning the death of Marilyn Monroe on Robert Kennedy for all the reasons I've talked about. Motive, the love affair, all the things that were going on with regard to her at that particular time. I mean, he's the most logical suspect. There's no question about that, based on motive. And you know what? After she died, there was never any sorrow from the Kennedy family. There was nobody. They basically just dismissed it. And there's, you know, I've got 50 or more similarities in the book between the life and times of Marilyn Monroe and Dorothy Kilgallen. And one of them is that neither one of them ever got an investigation. They both were denied justice.
It really is astonishing. Folks, we're talking to the author of Collateral Damage, The Mysterious Deaths of Marilyn Monroe and Dorothy Kilgallen. Mark Shaw, we're going to return with you. A lot more to go over, including details on who killed JFK, how that happened. We'll be right back, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Folks, I'm talking to Mark Shaw, brand new book, Collateral Damage, The Mysterious Deaths of Marilyn Monroe and Dorothy Kilgallen. I have to go back again. When Johnny Russo was on the program, he was talking about knowing the exact shooters who killed John F. Kennedy in November of 63. Were you able to corroborate any of what he was saying there? Because there's nothing more confusing and controversial than who killed JFK. So for somebody to come out and say, this is exactly how it happened, what did you discover?
I'm going to have to go with Johnny on that because, you know, he was there. He was around that time and all of that. And you know, his account seemed very credible to me. I read his book twice and tried to see if there was anything in there that didn't seem to me to make sense. I've stayed away, though, Eric, from all the single bullet stuff and where the shots came from and all these other kinds of things. But it doesn't really make sense that it would have been anything other than the soldiers who Marcello would have used. I think Lee Harvey Oswald was one of them. He certainly wasn't all Oswald alone. That's a bunch of junk. Even the Sixth Floor Museum in Dallas distorts history that way. But I think if you, you know, I had another advantage here, if you don't mind my mentioning. My first book that touched on the JFK assassination was a biography of Melvin Belli. And if you remember him, you're probably way too young. But he was a rambunctious San Francisco lawyer, bigger than life, represented the Rolling Stones, Muhammad Ali, and all of those people. But Melvin Belli was the lawyer for Jack Ruby. I practiced law with Belli in the 1980s. I got to know him well. When he died in 96, I decided to write a book about him because he had written two autobiographies that conflicted in terms of his life story. So as I looked into him, I found out about his affiliation with the mafia. His main client at that time was Mickey Cohen, the gangster in Los Angeles and all of that. And I kept asking myself, how in the world did Melvin Belli, who had never tried a criminal case in his life, let alone a capital case, end up being the attorney for Jack Ruby? And then why did he use this ludicrous psychomotor epilepsy insanity defense to represent Ruby and also not let him testify at trial? And all at once, the light bulb went on. He had been recruited to come to represent Ruby after he shot Oswald. In fact, I found a witness who, when Belli was told about Oswald's death, he said, okay, now I'll have to represent Oswald, represent Ruby. So you can go Belli to Ruby, and that includes Oswald then, and then you include Marcello in that path. Well, who's the loose end here for Marcello? It's Oswald. So you bring in Ruby to kill Oswald, and then you bring in Melvin Belli to represent Ruby and keep his mouth shut about what happened, which is exactly what he did.
But there were other shooters besides Oswald. Is the focus on Oswald here, to killing Oswald, because he said, "I'm a patsy," because he was the one in custody?
Remember what Johnny Russo told you. Costello sent him to New Orleans with money. He gave that to Marcello at his restaurant, Moscow's, and he got then a little message back to Costello. He took it back. It's on, okay? But remember what Russo told you. While he was there, as he walked by the bathroom entrance, out walked this skinny white guy. And as you know, Costello then, when Russo got back to New York, he sent Russo to Europe to get him out of the way so nobody could investigate him. And just, we can only imagine, I just got a chill with this. Here's Russo on a ship. He looks at the television. He sees JFK being killed. And then a little bit later, he sees Oswald, who he saw with Marcello in New Orleans. That's where I say Gianni is really important to history. You know, your audience may say, "Mark, this happened 50 some years ago. What's the big deal?" Well, it's all about history. My contribution to history. I'm a historian. But Johnny Russo really made a lot of difference here. And I appreciate him promoting my book. I've told him that. But it's just amazing what he was able to provide. And that really was the glue that I had for the book Collateral Damage.
Who do you think knew what we're talking about? In other words, we're talking about some really dramatic stuff. And, you know, the Warren Commission, all of this stuff is papering over these abysses. It's so strange to me that more of this hasn't come out before now. I don't even remember what Oliver Stone suggests in his movie. But Bill O'Reilly was on this program only last week, and he flat out said that he thought Johnny Russo was mistaken, and that in his book, Killing Kennedy, he says, in fact, it was not RFK who was involved in the Marilyn Monroe murder. So, you know, I have to give him a lot of credit, but it sounds like you've dug just a little bit deeper.
Well, the problem you have with Bill O'Reilly or anybody like that is they weren't there, okay? Johnny Russo was there. Dorothy Kilgallen was there. I have trouble with the accounts that these people give. Now, you know, I've been blessed with all of this research kind of coming together because I've written all these books in this area. But it all pieces together. If you just use some logic, really, with regard to it. Who's the man with the greatest motive to kill JFK? Carlos Marcello, because RFK is going to deport him again, and he's charged him with racketeering. Motive. Nobody else has got a better motive than Lyndon Johnson and benefited more, except for Lyndon Johnson, than Carlos Marcello, okay? When you get to Marilyn Monroe, it at the time, you know, Dorothy Kilgallen's columns were screaming that there were all these questions. I've got lists of them here. You know, why was the light on in Marilyn's bedroom? Why was her door locked when it never was? She's got all these questions about Marilyn's death, and those are in her newspaper column. But nobody's listening. Nobody's listening. Just like they weren't listening to her when she was telling them that there was something wrong with the Oswald alone theory. We get to a point where we are focused all in on things, and we miss the simple things that are out there, the logical things that we should see. And that's what I'm afraid an awful lot of these authors have done who weren't really there at the time.
I feel like I just missed something. You were implicating just now, if I'm not mistaken, Lyndon Baines Johnson.
No.
Somehow. You said had a better motive.
I look, you know, there's motive, means, opportunity, and benefit from the crime. All right? I believe Carlos Marcello and Bobby Kennedy fit all four. Lyndon Johnson only fits two, all right? Motive.
You don't think he was involved at all?
No, motive and benefit from the crime. People have asked me about Lyndon Johnson. I looked into that, but there's so many layers between him and all the things that went on in Dallas. I could never really give a credible account of him being involved when there is so much more evidence about Marcello having orchestrated. Just think about the result, the benefit from the crime. Bobby Kennedy was never powerful again. They remember they had that Hoffa squad, get Hoffa squad in the White House, go after the mobsters and Hoffa, disbanded it. They never bothered Marcello, Giancana, Trafficante, Costello, any of those guys again. And Bobby then finally resigned as attorney general. That's the proof, the benefit from the crime.
Well, I mean, couldn't LBJ have pushed Kennedy, RFK, to pursue this? I'm just not clear.
Well, the Justice Department never investigated the JFK assassination.
No, I don't mean the JFK assassination. I'm talking about going after the mob. RFK.
They hated each other, though. You know that. Lyndon Johnson and RFK hated each other. They always had hated each other. And I put a little of that in my book, but with Collateral Damage, but and also in Denial of Justice and The Reporter Who Knew Too Much. But, you know, there's no way. I mean, they wouldn't even talk to each other. And Bobby knew he was done. And that's why he finally resigned and ran for president.
Who do you believe killed RFK? I know you haven't written about it, but I'm just curious since we're on the subject.
I'll tell you what, people have asked me about that and I've tried to work on it, Eric. If I could prove that Sirhan Sirhan, who I still believe and RFK Jr. believes is not the actual person who shot his father, as he's said many times recently, if I could prove a link between Marcello and Sirhan Sirhan, and the only one I ever found was that Sirhan and Sirhan worked at the Hollywood Park racetrack that Marcello was a part owner with, I would go ahead and try to prove that that could have happened. But the motive again, if I've just got a second, the motive again is the fact that Bobby Kennedy was going to become president. And if he did, would he have come back and gone after Marcello and all those guys? Sure he would. So the motive was there, but I've never been able to prove the connection.
Okay, going to another break. Folks, I'm talking to the author of Collateral Damage, Mark Shaw. Don't go away. Prescription Dispensing Labs is a national licensed pharmacy specializing in personalized prescription and natural medicine. The pharmacists at PD Labs are credited with formulating unique nasal sprays for the dreaded brain fog and a leader in uncovering new compounds to improve your health. PD Labs is one of the first pharmacies to now offer a telemedicine group trained in prevention medicine and how to restore your health. They have developed signature professional supplements that really work rather than just promotional advertising. PD Labs Pharmacy prides itself on innovation and amazing customer service that show dedication to your health. Today, everyone needs a choice in their healthcare, and they bring many refreshing options on how to maximize your body's amazing capabilities to bounce back. PD Labs has an extensive network of practitioners nationwide dedicated to true healthcare, not sick care. Visit their website, pdlabsrx.com, for free health tips, podcasts, and their popular online store. Call 888-909-0110. Ask for Ray and tell them Eric sent you. That's 888-909-0110. Hey there, friends. Eric Metaxas here. Folks, we're talking to Mark Shaw. Collateral Damage is the book. Where were we, Mark? This is a lot of stuff to process.
Well, I'd like to go back, if we could, to Marilyn Monroe's life and times and death. You know, I've really been able, I'm not the greatest researcher who ever lived, but I've really been blessed to find books that nobody's ever quoted from. For instance, this is a paperback book by Marilyn's first husband, James Dougherty, and it told me about his impressions of her and all of that. There was a book called Marilyn, The Tragic Venus, wrote in 1964, just after she died. All kinds of wonderful information there about her life and times and what her mental attitude was at that time. This is another one. Marilyn had actually written her own book. A lot of people don't know that, My Story. And it was written with a screenwriter at the time. And there's a great information in there. But it's amazing to me that I'm able to find documents that nobody ever else knew about. This is a copy of Photoplay magazine, okay? Photoplay magazine. the August 1963 edition. So I can't even remember how I found it. But you would never think there would be anything in here too much about Marilyn Monroe's death. But back on this page, there's Marilyn's photograph. And here's this story by a woman named Martha, what was her last name? Wilmington, I guess her name is. She was a European correspondent, but she had looked into the Marilyn Monroe death by talking to a lot of people who knew Marilyn. Here's how it starts out. You can see him in a crowd. You can reach out and touch him because he is a great man, famous, known all over the world. And maybe that touch will give you at least a small part of him. You can see him on television or even in a movie theater, and you will look up to him and think how lucky his wife is to be married to him, and how his many children are to have him as a father. Now you're starting to see who this is about. And maybe you'll think, I wish I were his wife. You can read about him almost any day in the newspapers and magazines, and you'll think, this is a good person. This is an honorable man. But what you will never read, never see, never know is that this man is a killer. He is the man who killed Marilyn Monroe. And it goes on and on. It's like this woman who I could never find out any information about at all, had somehow or another squeezed this information out of people who knew Marilyn, sources in Los Angeles and all of that. But it's almost chilling when you hit it. This is a good person. This is a truly honorable person, but you will never read, never know that this man is a killer. He's the man who killed Marilyn Monroe.
Well, I mean, look, he's not just the killer. Let's be honest. He's an adulterer. The Kennedys, wore their Catholic faith a little bit on their sleeves, and yet they are some of the dirtiest. You know, it's horrifying when you talk about Joe Kennedy, the father. He seems to have been tremendously corrupt and dark and adulterous, and his sons, all of them, I'm sorry to say, similarly adulterous. So when you look at a person's character, if you're capable of that kind of behavior, it strikes me that you might be capable of other kinds of behavior. But murder is not what we would typically guess that they would be involved in.
Well, I don't know if it's going to upset some of your viewers or listeners, but in the book, I compare Joseph Kennedy to Donald Trump.
Donald J. Trump?
That same one.
And what do you mean by that? Is Donald J. Trump involved in bootlegging, and did he or did he not have an affair with Gloria Swanson? We want to hear about this.
I don't know about those two lateral things. All I know is that they had the same sorts of disorder, personality disorders, narcissistic, not wanting to listen to anybody, believing they were better than everybody, having no empathy. Joe Kennedy during World War II was an absolute whore. He went ahead and he took advantage of buying property at lower prices. He treated people like dirt. He threw out the tenants. You could go on and on with his adulterous behavior. But when I was reading all that, the first man that came to mind was Donald Trump. And one of the reasons it did is because collateral damage has to do with the fact that the deaths of Marilyn, JFK, and Dorothy Kilgallen are all a result of Bobby Kennedy and Joe Kennedy's actions after the 1960 election. So what they did, JFK and Joe, led to violence. Well, the same thing happened with the president, former president now, thank God, with regard to that resulting in violence with the stalking, the stomping of the Capitol and all of that. And so I wanted people to realize how bad a guy Joe Kennedy was. And I couldn't think of a better example to compare him to than the former president.
Well, I can think of a lot of better examples, Mark. And I'm glad that you've proven to me that you're a human being, that you can get some things wrong. You've gotten so much right. It's kind of chilling to me when we talk about somebody like a JFK. I mean, actually, let's be honest. When you say RFK had Marilyn Monroe killed, we really mean both JFK and RFK? Because honestly, I mean, leaving Donald Trump aside, but honestly, there's no question that what RFK was doing wasn't purely self-interest. He was doing it for his brother and for himself. And so are we to think that his brother wouldn't have known about this, or maybe they kept it from his brother? I'm just curious if you found out whether RFK was in on it.
Ironically, Bobby Kennedy was known as the vacuum cleaner for the Kennedy family.
Oh, gosh, we've gone over. Hang on a second. We'll be right back. Coming back with Mark Shaw. Folks, we're talking to Mark Shaw, Collateral Damage is the book. Maybe, Mark, if you would just repeat roughly the last 30 seconds, just in case, because I don't want to lose it. Here we go.
You asked whether JFK would have known that Bobby Kennedy eliminated, silenced Marilyn Monroe.
Right.
Bobby Kennedy was known as the vacuum cleaner for the Kennedy family. He was to sweep up the bad things that were happening. JFK's women that he slept with, Ted Kennedy with regard to the Chappaquiddick, all the other Kennedys, who were involved. This was a bad group of people. There's no question about it. The Kennedys did a lot of good things.
I mean, RFK was dead by the time Chappaquiddick happened.
Well, whatever. I'm sorry. Excuse me then. He was known as the vacuum cleaner who helped sweep up things. Whether he would have told JFK that Marilyn was a problem and we're going to have to do something about it or what, I could never prove that. But I wouldn't be surprised that JFK probably had a good idea that when Marilyn died, that RFK had something to do with it, because he would have known that Marilyn, I believe, was going to spill the beans about the love affairs with him, these national security secrets, all that kind of thing. I don't think he would have been surprised. Bobby was really ruthless. At one point, Joe Kennedy said of Bobby, he hates like I do. He made the biggest mistake he could have ever made. It cost him his brother's life when he went after those mafioso. You can't mess around with those guys. Please, Eric, don't double cross any of those mafiosos still alive, okay? Because you won't get away with it. May I tell you a quick story?
Of course.
When I was with Good Morning America as a correspondent for them, they sent me to Philadelphia to interview a mafia don named Angelo Bruno about the mafia getting into Atlantic City. And we were surprised the lawyer would talk to me, but he did. And he told me a lot of things I didn't think he should tell me. I get sent that back to a GMA. They played it the next day and they were amazed. And they got a hold of me before I left Philadelphia. And they said, "You think he'll talk to you again?" So I called his office. And this woman answered in a soft voice. And I said, "I'd like to talk to whatever his name was." And she didn't say anything. And I said, "Are you okay?" And she said, "Well, Mr. Shaw, you should know that this morning when Mr. whatever his name was, started his car, it blew up."
So the lawyer who spoke to you and gave you this information was killed.
You can't mess around with those guys, Eric. Be careful, okay?
I'll make a note of it, because I was planning to mess around with them this afternoon. It is amazing. I mean, this is such dark stuff. Let me ask you a question sort of not related to everything we're talking about, but how do you prevent yourself from feeling dirtied and just fatally made cynical and jaundiced about the world when you look at this kind of filth? Because it is depressing and it's very dark.
It is. And we lost three good people. JFK had his faults, but Dorothy Kilgallen was an amazing woman who overcame all the obstacles of gender discrimination and everything to rise to the top. Look what Marilyn went through to get to the top and all of that. I try to keep in mind that I am their voices, that I'm fighting for them for justice, and that, their reputations were ruined. Dorothy looked as a drugger. Marilyn looked as a drugger. And so I'm trying to restore those reputations for them. And so I try to look at the bright side of that and the fact that the people who caused their deaths should be held accountable. I had some reticence of writing a book that indicated and proved, I believe, in many ways that Bobby Kennedy was responsible for Marilyn Monroe's death. He did a lot of good things. The Cuban Missile Crisis, civil rights, all those kinds of things. But, you know, we tend to, at times, just wash away the dark side of these people. We're doing it with Kobe Bryant. I covered his trial. He raped a woman. And that's all being forgotten now as he's being applauded for what he did. But we do that with Frank Sinatra. I can't listen to a Frank Sinatra song because of all the filth that he was involved in and the beating up of people and all the things he did with the mafia. I've got a picture in the book of him with his arms around 8 mafioso in a nightclub. And Johnny Russo, by the way, knew who those guys were because Johnny Russo was there. So,
well, this is tricky stuff because Johnny Russo, he's protective of Sinatra and considered him a friend. He doesn't have that view of Sinatra, or have you asked him about that?
I don't think I'm telling anything out of school. At one point, he and his partner, Patrick, were going to write a book about Sinatra. But you can't write a book about Sinatra and not show the dark side, and they decided not to do that. But I will tell you that he identified those mafioso in that picture that I had. He knows about Sinatra and his involvement with Cuba and the gangsters down there and all of that. So, I think that Johnny is reticent to get into that side of Sinatra. But, he and Dorothy Kilgallen were great friends for a while until she wrote an article about his bimbos that he was associating with and the gangsters he was shooting, associating with. And so his next nightclub act, he said, Dorothy Kilgallen, she doesn't have a chin to begin with. And, here's what her figure looks like. And he held up a key. And all of these derogatory comments about her, including if you run into Dorothy Kilgallen, please do so with a bus. And so they became enemies of each other after they'd had a friendship years before. You couldn't cross Frank Sinatra, that's for sure.
I wasn't planning on it, but I have to tell you, obviously Johnny Russo hung out with a lot of the people that Sinatra was hanging out with. So it's confusing. I mean, I have to say, I have always assiduously shrunk from the company of those mobsters. They frighten me. There's a palpable darkness, the violence that's there. It's horrifying to me. But Sinatra, it seems, at least according to Johnny Russo, was himself in the middle of all this. He was there at that resort when they were trying to set up Marilyn Monroe to set up RFK. He had to know what was happening.
Well, he was a conduit between the Kennedys and Marilyn. He introduced Marilyn to the Kennedys, Frank Sinatra did. And then he had a love affair with her. And then JFK dumped Sinatra and all of that. But, there's good and bad in everybody, Eric. And Sinatra has inspired a lot of people with his music and all of that. I'm just not one of his fans.
All right. So at least you're on the record as saying that there's some good in Donald Trump. We're going to be right back, folks. We're talking about everything. Don't go away. The guests we get on this program.
I don't know.
I don't know how we do it.
I don't know.
I don't know how we do it. Hey, yeah. I got to just say something.
Yes.
We've got to tell people again and again and again. We were completely forever knocked off of YouTube.
That's right.
And folks, I've been looking into this. This is Maoist, Soviet style intimidation. It is wrong on every level. And if you think you're going to silence me, let me tell you something. If you knew who my parents were,
yeah,
no, I don't think it's going to happen. Good luck.
Yeah,
keep trying. But in America, we have to speak up, and especially when they try to silence you. We have had the most wonderful guests, and we put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
They're all gone. You have to go to Rumble. Even better. And I'm begging you, folks, I'm just begging you, go to my website, ericmetaxas.com. Please sign up for the newsletter. Please, 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 because there's no way to get all the information out to you that we want to get out to you. So just sign up for it. You'll see what I mean.
Right. Alvin, you can still hear the guest at MetaxasTalk.com. We've got the whole podcast there.
But obviously.
The video.
But if you want to see it, and I know so many of you want to see, for example, what are we wearing today?
That's
if,
right.
If you're not watching the video, you can't see what we're wearing. We could tell you anything. I am wearing a union suit.
Love it.
And I'm smoking a corn cob pipe.
And I have not had a haircut in 6 weeks. I'm looking like a bald, shaggy dog right now.
I was going to say, my hair has started to thin, and I want to know, Alvin, what's your secret?
Well, I just let it go, brother.
You just let it ride?
Okay,
we got to mention two things real quick before we go to the next guest. A lot of people know that Father's Day is coming up. Folks, Father's Day is coming up. I don't expect any big gift.
No.
But it wouldn't hurt. But here's the issue. Father's Day, we have a film on SalemNow.com. Now, people should be going to SalemNow.com anyway because there's a lot of great programming there. But SalemNow.com, there's a new film coming out called The Streets Were My Father. You can tell it's kind of a dark story, but it ends very, very wonderfully. It's an inspirational film about, I guess you have to be honest. If you didn't have a father, Father's Day might really be a hurtful day, might be a difficult day for you. And so this film deals with three men from the urban community, two Hispanics, one black. And I got to tell you, the story of their lives, of not having a father and what happened to them. And this is a fact. 85% of youths in prison, 85% of youths in prison come from homes without a father. If you don't realize that that is the problem in America right now, you're not paying attention. That is one of the most overwhelming statistics conceivable. So the film is called The Streets Were My Father. Go to SalemNow.com, SalemNow.com. Once a year, we have a program with Christian Solidarity International. They are literally freeing slaves in Sudan.
That's right.
It seems satanic and unthinkable that slavery exists in 2021. Ladies and gentlemen, apart from you giving, it does. In other words, right now, you could give $250 to CSI, go to MetaxasTalk.com, and you can literally free a slave. And the money doesn't only pay to make that happen, but it sets them up in a new life. It's an astonishing thing that they get how far American money goes in Africa. It is astonishing. But in Sudan, they still have slaves. These Muslim slave traders, they believe in slavery. They don't have a theological issue with it as Christians do, but didn't always, obviously. So we want you to go to our website, MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com. Check out the banner CSI.
Or call the phone number, which is 888-253-3522.
Let me spell that out. 888-253-3522. Whatever you give, folks, there's nothing more important than using the money that we have, which is a lot, to give it to a cause like this. You're literally freeing slaves. We'll tell you more about that on this program. How much time do we have left?
That's it, buddy.
We're out of time?
Yeah.
Okay, folks, please do that. You've got a couple of assignments. No kidding. Go to ericmetaxas.com. Sign up for the newsletter, please. We need your help. And please go to metaxastalk.com and do what you can for CSI. God bless you.